Well, we welcome you to our webcast service today. We've just celebrated July the 4th, and I hope you had a great time celebrating with your family and with friends, but it wasn't like 4th that we've had for a long time. Didn't get to go to the celebrations in a lot of places, but we pray that you still had a good time, and we welcome you to the service. We pray that as we spend time together in God's Word, that God will have something to say to each of our hearts. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the great nation that we have. We thank you for the history of our nation, for the blessing our nation has been to others. Father, we thank you for this day. Each day we have, Lord, we know is a gift from you. Father, we thank you that your mercy is new every morning and that we have that forgiveness and peace that comes only from you. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that precious Lord and Savior. Thank you that he loved us enough to die for us and give us eternal life. Now, Father, as we spend time in studying your word, I pray that the Spirit of God would be our teacher, that we'd have ears to hear what you'd want to say to us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
This morning we're going to sing for our hymn sing, a song that is indeed appropriate for today. If there's ever been a time that we need to keep praying, it's today. Listen as we sing together now, as we sing a beautiful old song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Good morning. Welcome to Sunday, July the 5th. and another day that the Lord has given to us to enjoy and to worship His name. I have just a few announcements for you this morning. Today is a very important day in the life of Barbage Grove, and that is this Bible school day. And it's July the 5th, and we're going to be having Bible school today, but it'll be done a lot differently than we've ever done it before. Because of the coronavirus, the coronavirus has made us do things a lot more differently than we thought we'd ever do. But in this particular case, we're still honoring the Lord, and we're honoring the young people and the old with the Bible school. But it will be this Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. It will be all a handout situation where the cars will come by and the instructions will be handed out. The literature, the crafts, the snacks, all will be handed out in bag form and will be able to take home with them. There'll also be instructions there for each one to go online and to study. There will be an adult study as well, and all you adults can go by and get your literature as well this afternoon from 4 to 6 and to be able to study for this week. 5 days will be available to you for study, so please go by and plan to do that. Also, I'm told that one of my favorite things in Bible school, crafts, and I always had a great time doing that. And Janice Coley told me she'd come by and teach each one of you at home if you wanted to do that. So, Janice, I'm in trouble. I know that right now. She didn't say that, by the way. But I always loved to have Janice Coley in crafts time. She was always a pleasure. There's a lot of people worked in that. But anyway, so there'll be crafts each day, each day for you to do. So say a special thank you to Aaron and Grant and all those in her crew that have worked so hard and so diligently to make this happen. So come by this afternoon from 4 to 6. We also are going to be sponsoring, our church is going to be sponsoring a time of saying appreciation to the law enforcement people in our area. We're going to have a time of a meal that's going to be prepared for the officers of the Oakboro Police Department, the Stanley County Sheriff's Offices Department, and the Highway Patrol assigned to this area. This will be a barbecued chicken meal. It'll be served with all the trimmings, and it'll be a drive-through only. It won't be any inside sit-down meal. This will be a drive-through situation only. It'll be Saturday, July the 18th, from 11 till 3. So come here at Barbage Grove, and we'll be happy to be with you as the law enforcement comes and we honor them at a time when we believe that we should take the time to say thank you. We're also going to need some cakes, and you all help us with that on cakes for Friday night, the 17th. And that's all the announcements I have. A time of prayer is important each and every Sunday that we have, and we want to now take this time. While I don't have as many prayer requests as usual, I want you to think back on the prayer requests that's been added already, and I want us to remember all those in our prayer list. You can get a full list on the prayer list from our website, and we can pray from that time. But there are needs. There are needs among us, and probably needs that we won't even know. People could be hurting. I've told one time that if you have a church full of people that on every pew, there's probably a need. And I think that's probably true. So we'll pray to the Lord at this time. We'll pray for our service and for those in need. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for another day, Lord, that you've given us to be able to worship, to be able to be thankful. Indeed, Lord, help us to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us each and every day, uncountable blessings. So it's for that reason, Lord, before I ever ask you for a thing, I'm going to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those who have good health. Thank you for those who are here. And Lord, while we're still far apart at times, and where we're still not able to worship together like we used to do, our hearts can still be worshipful. And we thank you for that opportunity. We pray, Lord, for Barbage Grove. We pray, Lord, as we work through this pandemic. Lord, we know, Lord, that you're in control, and we pray for your blessings upon us. We thank you for our pastor. We lift up Pastor Ed to you, Lord, and as he's been so faithful, And Lord, we know, Lord, he's your man. And we pray for him, for his strength, for his courage, and Lord, for your wisdom. Now, Lord, as we go further in this service today, we would ask for your blessings upon us, for all who have a part in the singing, the preaching, and the prayer. Whatever we do today, Lord, we lift up your name and say thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. We have a brand new soloist for you that we're singing today, and I'm excited to be able to tell you that we have Gail Perkins that will be singing for you today, and I thank Gail so much. So Gail, if you would, come and bless our hearts.
You know, we just celebrated July the 4th, the birth of our great nation. And I've always been a student of history, love to study history. And when you look back at the beginning of this nation, what a great, wonderful company of people were happened to be here at just the right time. Now, I know women didn't have as much to influence back then as they do now. So we usually just remember the men, Washington and Jefferson and Adams and Revere and Franklin and Monroe and Madison and Payne and Hancock and a host of others. They were a group of men that were totally committed to seeing this nation be born with freedom. They put together an awesome constitution, awesome Declaration of Independence. They did it with 13 scattered colonies without all the modern communications. Can you think, if somebody were doing something important, they either had to get on a boat in Philadelphia and come down the coast to Charleston, or else they had to ride a horse across those miles. And yet, they got together, they did it all. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. Total commitment to what they were doing. And you know, early in my school years, it seemed like the picture was portrayed that every person in the United States was all in favor of the revolution. Found out later that it wasn't so, that there were a group called loyalists that fought against it, that tried to sabotage it, that wanted to stay under the English king. And yet, in spite of all of this, the colonialists prevailed and a great nation was born. And when you think about the history of this nation since then, some awesome things have happened. America has been the greatest nation in the history of the world to bless other nations. Every time there's an earthquake, a tornado, or a hurricane, a cyclone, some other kind of natural disaster, anywhere in the world, it's not long till American aid shows up. Food, clothing, water, supplies that they need. You know, America's been a great nation because of our missions sending. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans have gone all over the world to share Jesus Christ with those who've never heard his name. You see, the nation that was born was a great nation. And it came out of total commitment. A total commitment of a group that was dedicated to achieving victory. What's our commitment? In the Bible, there's some examples that always intrigue me. First is the story of Gideon. You remember Gideon? He was scared. He was hiding from the enemy. And suddenly an angel appears to him and says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And I'm sure Gideon looked over his shoulder to see if somebody walked up behind him that the angel was speaking to. But no, he was talking about Gideon. And under the hand of God, Gideon became that mighty man of valor. And with an army of 300, defeated an army of over 100,000. Now he was committed. Even his own family and others in his city or his village were against him at first. But Gideon prevailed because he was following the Lord. Think about Joshua and Caleb. The Bible calls what the 10 spies said an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb says, "God's given us this land. Let's take it. Let's don't be afraid. Let's follow the Lord." And as a result, eventually they prevailed. It took 40 years. But Joshua and Caleb prevailed because they were committed. They walked in faith. They believed the word of God, they obeyed, and they prevailed. But what about us? It doesn't take but just a couple of minutes watching the news to know America's in a mess right now. There are all kinds of things that are out of control. And some of us just shake our heads and say, 50 years ago, we would have never dreamed that our nation would be like it is today. Isn't it interesting? You and I were born right when we were. Why were we born 200 years ago? Or 1,000 years ago? Or 100 years from now? Why are we alive just now? Have you ever pondered that and sort of got alone with the Lord and said, what's my purpose? Why am I here now? Why has God allowed me to be born and live at this particular time? Why are we here in the United States? I mean, we could have been born in Africa, South America, China, Japan. But no, we were born in America at this particular time. God had a purpose for you, and God had a purpose for me. Why has God gifted us and equipped us exactly like we are? I know it's easy to say, well, I don't have any gifts. I don't have many talents. I'm just a nobody. But God, as the old saying goes, God don't make no junk. God gifted you. God gave you the experiences that you've had. God gave you the education that you've had. And when I say education, it doesn't have to be college or postgraduate. We just learn through life. We learn through what's going on every day. Why has God called and gifted and equipped us for this hour? You remember what was said about Queen Esther? Who knows but what thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Friends, you were born for such a time as this. God has a purpose for your life. God has a role for you to play. God wants you in the game. I remember years ago, my church was in a church basketball league. Well, I'm not the tallest guy on the team. I'm pretty slow. And I could have made some baskets if I'd had a ladder. So I sat on the bench a lot. I wanted to be in the game. But there were a lot of better players, and so they played, and I sat on the bench until we were so far behind or so far ahead, or one of those other guys that was so out of shape he couldn't run any longer. And then they'd put me in. It's not like that as a Christian. There should never be any bench warmers. We're all in the game. God had you born for this time. God had you equipped for this time. God wants you in the game for this time. Now it's easy to sing that old song, Que Sera, Sera, whatever will be, will be. And say, well, I can't do much. I can't do anything. I'm not important. But you can stand for what's right. You can vote for what's right. You can pray. You can commit yourself and your family to make the right choices, just like Joshua did. You remember Joshua? As he comes to the end of his conquest of Palestine, of Israel. And he calls the people together and he gives them some instructions. And then he says, you folks can choose whatever you want to do. It's your choice. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's the greatest choice any dad, any mom can ever make. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Now sometimes a mom has to make that choice without dad's going along. He doesn't want anything to do with the Lord. Sometimes a dad has to make that choice when mom doesn't want to serve the Lord. But as a parent, and a parent with children, what a wonderful affirmation. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. With all of that in mind, I want us to look for a few moments in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, very familiar passage of Scripture, the end of the 6th chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse 10. Let me read that, and then I want to make a few comments on it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now there's some things that Paul says here that we need to get through our heads and down into our hearts. Paul reminds us that our fight is not with people. It's easy sometimes as Christians to look at what's happening in our world and say, look at what those folks are doing. But Paul reminds us our wrestling is against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul says we're wrestling against the strategies and schemes and plans and the wiles of the devil. It's not people. Now the devil uses people. He uses unsaved people. And he uses weak, untaught, unsuspecting Christians at times. And if one group passes away, then another group comes right along, susceptible to being led and influenced and directed by the devil. And I'm not saying everything you see on TV or reading the paper is inspired by the devil. I think some of it is. Some of it may not be. You'd have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. But our fight is not people. It's not people. We don't hate people. We don't dislike people. We don't want to take vengeance on people. We want to love people. You see, the devil is planning the destruction of our nation. And Paul reminds us, led by the Holy Spirit, that it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for your heart. It's a spiritual battle for your family. It's a spiritual battle for our nation. Now, God is in control. I think it's interesting. In verse 10, he says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He doesn't say, now folks, you got a battle on your hands. Good luck. Take your little bean shooter and slingshot and hope for the best. He doesn't say that. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, it's God's power that makes the difference. We stand in His strength because He's already defeated, Jesus already defeated the devil. He whipped him 2,000 years ago. Made a show of him openly. The devil is defeated. Now, if the devil can convince us that he's more powerful than we are, we'll lose. But all the real weapon that the devil has is his mouth. The doubts, the fears, the threats. I remember being, you know, back on the old school grounds in elementary school, and some guy wants to be a bully and he wants to push somebody around, and he'll draw a line in the dirt there and he say, you step across this line and I'm going to lay it on you. Well, most people were afraid to step. But if somebody stepped across that line, the bully usually backed up. So when you draw across, I'm going to draw another line, you step across it. And you could back him all the way across the parking lot. He didn't want to fight. He just wanted to be a bully. And the devil is the same way. We be strong in the power of God's might. And he says in verse 11, we put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, you're standing in the armor of God. And he talks about loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. All of those things, the sword of the Spirit. All of those that are part of the army of God. You see, God didn't put us in this fight helpless and hopeless and defenseless. God says, here is an armor. It's yours. Put it on and use it. And especially use that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You remember in the wilderness when the devil tempted Jesus. Jesus never said, hey, I'm the Son of God, get out of here. Each time the devil tempted him, Jesus quoted Scripture. And whenever we face temptation and quote Scripture, God's Word, and the devil knows we mean it, he doesn't have an answer. Paul says we stand with the armor. And he talks about prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying for one another. All saints. You're a saint if you're a child of God. We need to be praying for one another. We don't know which brothers or sisters are going through trials and tribulations, but there are times that God will lay somebody on your heart. And you may need to get up in the middle of the night and spend a few minutes praying for that person. Something I like to do is just in driving around the community, praying for the people as I pass their houses. Can't be a long prayer because in a few moments, I'll be passing somebody else's house. But it's so easy just to spend a few moments praying for one another. And then he uses the word perseverance. We don't give up and quit. And notice how many times in those few verses, Paul uses the word stand or withstand or persevere. We just take our place and we stand. It's not that we're trying to take over. We're just standing so that the devil cannot win. We just stand. Washington, Jefferson, Adams, and all of those others brought about a great, great nation. They've handed it on to others who handed it on to others who handed it on to us. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ now are the ones that must put on the armor of God and stand. Stand for what's right. Pray for what needs to change. Pray for revival. Not hate people. Love people. Hate the devil and stand against him. Folks, you were born for an hour such as this. God has you here for a purpose. And your purpose may be a little different than mine, but God has you here for a purpose. Seek to know his will. Seek to know his purpose in your life. And like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to do what's right. Fathers, we bow before you today. I pray for those that are listening. I pray first that if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that today they'll feel impressed to confess, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he rose from the dead, and I choose him as my personal Lord and Savior. Father, if there's a Christian that's in weakness, one that the devil is persecuting, one that the devil is toying with, Father, I pray that today the Spirit of God will go and strengthen, encourage, and bless. And Father, I pray that each person that's listening to me today, each person will spend enough time with you to find out why they have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And not only discover it, but then go out and do it. Then go out and be obedient. And Father, I thank you that you're going to change this nation when enough believers get on board with your commitment. You're not done with this nation. You still want us to bless the world. You still want us to evangelize the world. And so, Father, we pray, revive us again. In Jesus' name, amen.